Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Turn the Page Podcast, Syosset Library, and I have an awesome guest here today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Ryan Estrada. I'm an artist, author, and adventurer coming to you from South Korea, where I live and just make many, many books and many other projects. My big book projects right now are Banned Book Club, which comes out this week from Iron Circus Comics. And I also do radio adaptations of Charles Dickens. I was going to say classics, but Charles Dickens, not very classics for Korean radio.
We can't, they can't all be classics, can they?
Yeah. Yeah. No, have to get into it. Like, I know I should be promoting my book, but I'm so excited about how terrible his books are. But like, some of them are good, but basically after what happened with Charles Dickens is like Christmas Carol was a huge hit. And he's like, I got to do this every year. I got to put out a Christmas book. And so for like 4 years, he was trying to put out a new Christmas novel every year to get those like those Christmas sales. And like they did okay, but not enough to like, he's like, I can't do this every year. I'm burning out. So then he just started like phoning in the worst books. He would like, he started a couple times like, I'll just write an essay. And people are like, no, we want a full book. So he started like hiring other writers to just like, he'll like write anything you want. Let's say there's people on a story telling a fire. Okay, go. And so then he'd put them all together and pretend he wrote the whole thing and it was a complete story. And some of them are good, some of them are classics, and some of them are like just nonsense.
So we're not going to have any Muppet specials based on them is basically what you're saying.
No. What's weird, I actually saw, there's one of them that like, I was like, how do I adapt this? It's called A Christmas Tree. And it was the year he's like, oh man, I got one due like in a week. I got to write something. And he just... it's the weirdest nonsense. He's just like, okay, what's about Christmas? Christmas trees. And he started just describing a Christmas tree for like 40 minutes. I listened to the audiobook. It's like, and there's tin soldiers on the tree. And then there's a doll and there's a chair and like literally listing things for 40 minutes. And then he just started for no reason talking about how he has a crush on Little Red Riding Hood and just like gets really into it. And then all of a sudden he's like, I kind of zoned out for a minute because it was getting really boring. And all right. Of a sudden he's talking about like dead bodies. And I'm like, wait, where did this happen?
You know,
he describes dead bodies for a while.
This is the earliest in a podcast that a guest has made me laugh hysterically. And that's amazing. And I think that, you know, there's so much to be said for that because like Charles Dickens is, you know, he's assigned in middle school and everybody knows his greats, but what he wrote so many things, I guess, that were not great. So what gave you the idea to do this? And you're adapting it for Korean radio?
Yeah, I'm adapting it for Korean radio. I work for Busan EFM, which is a station here. And they asked me if I wanted to run their BEFM drama. In the previous seasons, they adapted Sherlock Holmes, and I played Sherlock Holmes. And I have so many book projects. I have no time whatsoever. And like the money is not huge, but I'm like, there's this dream project that I always had where I did this blog a long time ago where people would be like, it was called Unlicensed. And people would say, if you could make a licensed comic or like sequel or anything to this, like name something. And I would say what I would do with it. And one time someone asked me what I would do with the Nicolas Cage movie, Bringing Out the Dead.
Ooh.
And it's a Martin Scorsese movie. And if you watch it very carefully, I'd watched it like dozens of times before I realized it. It's actually an adaptation of A Christmas Carol. And
okay.
You would never know unless you think about it. But he has three partners on three nights. They talk about the past, present, and future. It takes place on Christmas. And I'm like, so what I would do with sequels is I would do a show called Bringing Out the Dead, the animated series, where I would adapt the next 22 sequels. And like I actually wrote it up as a joke. And then when they said, we want you to adapt public domain things, I'm like, I don't have time for this, but how funny would it be to secretly trick Busan EFM and the Korean government into funding my Nick Cage fan fiction? And so
that's amazing.
I'm doing it, you know. I'm adapting every one of those stories with paramedics, like, because they're all about near-death experiences. So I do every one about paramedics showing up, and it's, you know, obviously I can't make it an actual sequel to the show, but like in my head canon, that's what it is. So it's just fun. But yeah, like I was saying, like, so some of them have never been adapted, but some of the weird ones, I was surprised, that one I was talking about, A Christmas Tree, that was one of the examples I posted on Twitter, was like, this is one no one would adapt, and someone's like, actually, and they sent me a link to an animated Christmas special where someone adapted it. Like, they left out all the dead bodies, but I'm like, all right, someone did something with it.
Oh my God, was that recent, or was that like one of those like older properties?
Yeah, it was an older one, and I get, yeah, it's weird. They just, like, there's no plot, there's no characters. I don't know, just have some kids walk up to Charles Dickens and it'll describe A Christmas Tree for a while. I don't know.
That's pretty amazing in so many ways. And I love that you bring in your idea of, what is it, Nick Cage fan fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got such a niche following, and it mm-hmm. seems like the people who really are into it are like, they just no holds bar, all about Nick Cage, and will follow him into whatever project he does. I have a few friends who are definitely like that. So quick question, were there any reoccurring characters in any of these? Or was it all standalone? Sorry.
It's more just like spooky stories about people coming to grips with what their life is in the winter. Because back then, that's like what the thing was for Christmas. It wasn't about, you know, he was the one that kind of invented the, like, let's all make stories about being together and family on Christmas. But that was just him bringing his little bit to, like, the tradition then was, you know, A Winter's Tale, you know, scary stories. And so, yeah, they're all little standalone stories. Some have ghosts, some don't. But that's one of my favorite things, is like reading the forgotten stuff from like these classic authors. It makes you feel so much better, like when you realize, like, oh, this guy was like a weird nerd too, like he wasn't like this with Shakespeare, my absolute favorite Shakespeare, I'm blanking on the name now, the Merry Wives of Windsor. Yeah, that's like, it's just such a weird book that it's like, it's nothing like anything else he does. It's like a weird, like, modern comedy. And like, it's just because the queen yelled at him for doing like an Avengers style Falstaff will return and then not following up. And she's like, you got to write something with Falstaff. So he's like, all right, here's a weird.
Falstaff was like one of those characters that people were like, you better not kill him off. People loved him. Mm-hmm. So how many adaptations have you done? How long has this been running so far?
We just started a couple weeks ago. So four of them have aired. And yeah, it's just gonna go for, I have to do two per week, so it's a real time crunch on these, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I've got a whole bunch in the works, and I think it's gonna come out to, there's 22 books, but a lot of them are anthologies, and I'm adapting each of the Charles Dickens stories in it as their own, and then I'm taking all the others and making it, like, smashing them together to make one episode of all of them. So it's gonna be probably about like 40 episodes, I think.
Do you have a favorite adaptation of Charles Dickens? It doesn't necessarily have to be A Christmas Carol, but there are so many.
Obviously, Bringing Out the Dead is my favorite, even though no one.
Yeah, that's true. You did just say that. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But my very first role as an actor was in Oliver, in a high school production. I was in Oliver. I played the Bow Street Runner. I had one line, and that line was stop. Ooh. And I got so into my character, like, it was my first role, and I'm even though I have one word, I got so into it. I'm like, what is he thinking? Like, what is going through his head when he says stop? Is he angry? Like, what? So I wrote in high school. I wrote my own entire musical. I wrote the songs. I wrote the music. It has like the same number of songs as Oliver Twist. About what the Bow Street Runner was doing during the rest of the play. It didn't cross over with the rest of the play. He had his own stuff going on. Just so at one point, he yelled stop at a young boy. And so that was...
So it was like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, but not even not even as involved because they had more involvement in.
Yeah, he just yelled stop. But I mean, he was going through his own stuff. Like he was, right. He was just a guy who like was arrested for stealing bread, and it wasn't because he like had to feed his family. He just really liked bread. And then they're like, "Well, you're really good at running. Why don't you become a Bow Street runner?" And then he was like, he got the job, and he's kind of like, there's some like shady Bow Street runners who were taking bribes and stuff, and he was kind of like getting pulled toward them. And then just one of the pivotal moments was he got really mad that he caught this little kid that was stealing stuff, and they let him go, and he was just really upset about it. And
and there you go.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Band Book Club.
Well, Band Book Club is a graphic novel memoir that I co-wrote with my wife. My wife is Kim Hyun-suk. She grew up in Korea in the 1980s when it was basically a dictatorship, but nobody knew it. She didn't know that it was a dictatorship. They called it a democracy. They had a president, but she didn't know that he had taken power by having a military coup against the government. And like basically any reading about anything political or anything was banned. Because they're like, we handle the politics, you don't worry about that. And then she had no idea until she went to school and joined this reading club that she thought was just to catch up on schoolwork, and then found out she would accidentally become the youngest member of this like anti-fascist rebel group. And I had no idea about any of this until we were taking a walk one day and she casually mentions, "Oh, the time I got interrogated by the KCIA. I'm like, "Wait, what?" we'd known each other for like a decade. And then I mentioned it on Twitter and we got subtweeted a book deal from Iron Circus. And we spent the last few years working on it.
That sounds really interesting. And I don't think, I mean, to be honest with you here, I don't think a lot of people realize that. You know, that piece of history. How long was he, quote unquote, president?
Well, it was a regime that went on for like a decade that the guy who preceded him was so dangerous that his own Secret Service assassinated him.
Wow.
To like stop a major, because he was gonna like basically what Chun Doo-hwan, the guy in our book, ended up doing was there were a bunch of protesters and he just had the military kill them all and just lied and said they were North Korean spies. But he was planning on doing something like that, and his own people assassinated him just to stop it. And then for like a week, democracy returned, and then his like second in command took over again. So it was a lot of starts and stops. And then even eventually when they did get free and fair elections again, that's the thing about like dictators and having control over the media. He created so much division that they finally got a free election and he won again.
Right.
So
yeah,
it went on. Like, it's hard to judge when it would, because even after like he was gone, like some of his people were still kind of popping up. But ever since then, it's kind of it took a while, but Korea is now one of the best democracies in the world, in our opinion.
So what were some of the books that were banned?
Well, basically, like anything, I mean, a lot of Korean books, but like anything by like Noam Chomsky was banned. Mm-hmm. Let me find, I have a list of them in here. Obviously, Che Guevara, and even what was the name? The Iron Heel? Is that the Jack London book, I think? There's it's like this sci-fi, like dystopian future book that Jack London did. That's just, it's not even related to any modern politics, but in it, it mentions, you know, a dictator in Korea. And they're like, "Oh, we can't have that idea in people's heads." And yeah. So that was banned.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, lots of different, Betty Friedan.
It's just really interesting how little you learn about the history of other countries and what's going on. And I'm really excited to read this book. I really am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thank you and your wife for working on it. I guess that was a lucky tweet and a lucky subtweet.
Yeah, I'm glad I happened to see the tweet, and we did this. It's taken a lot of work. We traveled all across Korea, and we reunited with all her old book club members, and just learned so much from so many people. And I'm happy to be able to tell these stories. There are things that relate to the modern day that, like, if I were making up fiction, it'd be like a little too on the nose. I can't go that, but it's like history really does kind of rhyme and repeat.
Yeah, it's very strange. I will certainly agree with you there. Well, thank you again. This was really awesome. Do I understand that you work in a library currently as well?
Yeah, I work at the Gijang Library here in South Korea. Currently working there teaching Zoom classes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, my students they've all mastered it. One of my students, unfortunately, knew Zoom well enough to create special effects and fake her own death on a Zoom class.
Oh, no.
And then disappear and trigger like a citywide like search to rescue her until we realized she was doing a little prank. So that was a terrifying day that gave me like the shakes for a week after.
Oh, geez. Lots of fun. We just have to worry about Zoom bombing.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had any of that.
Well, I will take that over the other thing.
Yeah.
Thanks again, and thanks for telling us about like Charles Dickens' not so great sequels to A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if Ebenezer ever shows up again, but
nope.
I think we don't have the Jacob Marley side story.
Yep. Nope. But again, some of them are great. The Haunted Man and the Ghost Bargain, I recommend. It came out before Jekyll and Hyde and kind of brought some ideas. But some of them, straight up trash. In two back-to-back books, there's four different stories where the spooky twist is someone married a foreigner and their family was so upset they died.
Oh, no.
It's bad. It's so bad.
Well, I guess it's almost like the Twilight Zone. You know, towards the end, there's those episodes that you kind of wonder how they got in there, and you figured they were just phoning it in. So,
yeah, that's what this was. He brought in guest writers that were. He's like, do whatever you want, and then like they turn in stories. He's like, it's due next week, whatever.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yep, thank you.
And I am going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.